You ready?
Yeah, man.
All right. Could you do me the favor of introducing yourself?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Astronautilus. My actual name's Andy, but people call me Astronautilus when I'm on stage or when I'm on records. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida, by way of Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the United States of America.
There's a lot of flags and stuff hanging around. There's a big flag behind the merch table. You're wearing the same thing with a different wording on it,
yeah,
I think, on your back.
Insignia too. I'm wearing the actual Florida flag. My girlfriend made a jacket for me out of Florida flags, and on the cover of my album, I'm wearing a robe that she made me out of tons of tiny little Florida flags, because the record is very much about Florida and about the South. And then we made for sale, we made a different version of the Florida flag, because the Florida flag is this really terrible image of this Native American woman planting seeds while like a conquistador ship is in the background, and we swapped the Native American woman out, and it's me pouring some whiskey out into the water while the ship is sinking behind me. Instead of saying the great state of the seal of Florida, it says Astronautilus, cut the body loose. Okay. So there's a lot of flags going on right now, which I know for for Deutschland, it's not normally a traditional thing. You guys are not really, there's very divided feelings in this country on flags. I understand this.
It's true. I've been walking for the past few days. I've been walking past a car that has two German flags on it. Mm-hmm. And I am debating, I don't think I have the guts for it, but if I get home tonight, it's going to be dark if I'm going to take them off. But I think it's just a thought that I'm going to be entertaining.
Yeah, which is a very German response to the thing as well, too. I'm thinking sincerely about removing these flags.
Well, you're quite right on that. Yeah.
It's all good. I like it.
So is that part on the, I mean, you switched it around, obviously, because the message of the original flag is probably very questionable, not only probably.
Yeah.
And the only thing that ever gets to Florida from there to here is the Florida man and the crazy things he does.
Yeah.
And you are, as I see it, on a mission to make that different or?
No, not at all. I love that part of Florida. I mean, that to me is like, Florida is sort of the epicenter of weird in America and in the American South especially. It is the weirdest place, maybe one of the weirdest places I've ever been in my life. And I've been a lot of weird places. But I like that part of it. To me, that's part of it. Like, part of it is like, and I think when I was growing up in the South and in Florida, like, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And now that I left, and then I came back, and then I left again, and now I'm out kind of forever. And now I go back to see my family. I have grown to fall. I fell back in love with it, and part of the thing that I fell back in love with is that weird. It made me like I lived in a lot of other places that are very nice, and it made me miss some of the weird, you know. And like in the sense too that like I think if you lived in, you know, Berlin in the 80s and 90s, and then you left and you moved to like Munich or something, you would be like, I gotta get out of Berlin, it's too crazy. But then you move to Munich and you're probably like, well, I really miss the sound of techno music all the fucking time. You know, like you start to miss those things, you don't realize that you like how much you love them. And the other thing too is that like so I'm not trying to erase that, but there's also another dynamic to it that like is really beautiful and also really fucked up, and really kind of gray and questionable. And I feel like a lot of, even for America, the American South, for the rest of America, we sort of only get like the fucked up parts, like someone showing the really fucked up parts, or someone that is showing like, you know, good old Dixie and just like the overly romantic ignoring of the fucked up parts. And I think that's both of those things, and it's also a lot of things in between and around. And to me, it's made me love it more, and really fall in love with it, and be ultimately very proud to be from Florida in the end. For as fucked up as it is, for as beautiful as it is, for as magical and weird and sweaty and gross as it is, I love all of that, and it makes me proud because I realize now too that I am that. Like I wouldn't be me if it wasn't for that, and it's, I'm very proud of it.
It's very strange that there's not that many states of the states that have that much like spirit to it, like that, yeah, that many sides and stuff, because nobody knows about, I don't know, North Dakota or something. It's like, what is that? What even is that?
Yeah. Sorry to my friends in North Dakota. But yeah, no, totally. No, there is a, ultimately, I guess that's the thing, is like another state that is a super like outwardly controversial place, but to me, again, is, in my opinion, the most interesting state in America is Texas. And it's like you get one side of Texas, especially Europe gets one side of Texas. Thanks a lot, George Bush. But like ultimately, Texas is humongous. And to drive from one corner of Texas, to drive from Texarkana to El Paso in the bottom, is like 18 hours. So it's like driving almost all the way across most of the European Union. And like, so it is almost as different from corner to corner too, because it's totally different geography, different migrant groups. There's a whole weird part in the middle that's just Czech people. There's a weird German part in the hill country outside of Austin. Southwest is all Mexican. San Antonio is all Mexican. Dallas is this crazy old money. Houston is this mixture of like old oil money, Louisiana Bayou people, and African Americans. It's a really dynamic place. And to me, ultimately, in the end, I used to live in Seattle. Seattle is a really nice place. But Seattle is also, it's segregated. And it's not as complex. It's very easy to live a very uncomplicated life in Seattle. You look around, you live in a neighborhood full of people that look like you. You go to coffee shops, everything's perfect, everything's nice. And it's a point where I started to kind of hate it. And I like complicated places. And this is one of the reasons, too, that in touring, I like touring in Western Europe. It's fun for me. But in the end, I prefer going to Central Europe, prefer going to Eastern Europe, because it's complicated. It's not always easy. It's a lot more challenging. The shows are sometimes in super weird, random places, and not in like the kind of selectively weird place. Like a Berlin is a very we're going to put the show in this place because we can, because it's Berlin. And I love Berlin. I love these places. I love them all. But at the end, I am ultimately always more drawn to complicated places, because I think, too, one of the things that's really important to me is that I feel really lucky that I still go back to Florida and hang out with redneck friends, because I still learn from people that are different from me. And so it's really important. I grew up very middle class, American and white and a guy. It would have been very easy for me to spend my entire life around American, middle class, white guys. And ultimately, my life has been so much better because I have gotten to spend my time around so many other people from different countries, races, classes, religions, backgrounds. And so for me, the places that are complex are way more interesting to me.
I always feel I can only say that from pictures, for example, or from reactions. But if you see pictures from shows in Eastern Europe, they're always much crazier.
Yep.
Than, because I kind of feel like here it's kind of normal. It's it's another big rap dude who's coming over and playing a show. So we're going to go, we're going to move our hands up and down, and we're going to dance a bit. And there's something special, something cherished.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because there's an attitude, and I'm, will fall into the same trap too of I saw Daft Punk last night and Bruce Springsteen last week. And Boys Noize is playing a secret rave here tonight. Impress me, whereas when you're playing in Košice in Slovakia, ain't nobody been there. Nobody played a show there this week. There's no shows this week. And so you're the thing. And so ultimately people are much more appreciative and much more excited. And you can get crowds into it, but it's a lot more work in New York. Or, we played a show in New York, probably the best show I've played in New York. But it was work to get the crowd into it. And it took the entire show, and by the last two songs and then the encore, they were in and clicking. Whereas in Bratislava, a couple of days ago, it was hey, my name is Astronaut Austin. Everyone was wow, let's go. It's just a whole different world. And so ultimately for me, it's way more fun. It's way more fun to play. Even when we're playing for, in Bratislava was the biggest show we've had so far tonight. And I think this will probably come close to it. But we played a few the next night in Žilina. It was a much smaller city, but the people were just everybody dancing, and it's only 80,000 people in this town, and the venue is in the roof of the train station. It's super cool. But 110 people there or something, which is not a huge show, not a small show, but not a huge show, and everybody's dancing though, not a problem, And for me, we started the tour in Austria and Vienna. It's a great show, but you're kind of there's this Prussian restraint, Austro-Hungarian restraint that is deep-seated, that it's that you kind of have to pull people out of it. It's the same, and it has more to do with, it's different in certain places in the West, it's different in certain places in America, but at the end of the day, it's also just big cities, because you get the shows, and it's it's harder to impress people, you know, and so you have to work a little harder, which is fine. I don't mind, you know, I'll do the work, you know.
Do you put thoughts about that in the set list, for example? Like, do you go in and know I need to...
I can definitely, like, so, like, we played in Dortmund last night. In Dortmund, it's like, nobody plays Dortmund, you know? And, like, it's just outside of Cologne, and it was a great show, like, 75 people or something like this, which is, for Dortmund, it's great, you know, in a tiny little basement under a restaurant. So I definitely, it was a bit more experimental with the song choices, you know? I know that I didn't have to, like, just play hits, you know? I could kind of work in some other stuff because, A lot of those people don't know who I am, so there's no, like, expectation. And there's also, like, you know, I can kind of, like, fuck up a song there, and it's a bit more forgiving, you know? And so a lot of times I'll use shows like that. Like, tonight, like, I'm going to play a lot of bangers, you know? When I have a set list, I have a set list that's sort of, you know, laid out, and I have a whole bunch of tracks kind of underneath it in the list so that I can, like, on the fly just kind of drag things over and move things around. Oh, shit, that's not going to work right here. Let's move it around. But I tend to, like, yeah, think about that at least a little bit. And also, too, the other thing is that, like, because I've never played Dortmund and I've played Berlin probably 15 times, 20 times or whatever, I also try to, like, work in some older stuff. I don't want to be playing the same songs every time. So it's a bit more tricky playing in a place like this, but, you know, you figure it out.
I was just now wondering, how's that with the lyrics? I mean, you do have a lot of songs by now, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I would guess.
Yeah, tons.
And, like, do you go way back? Do you sit in the car and go through the lyrics again? Or is it kind of like a muscle memory thing that when the beat starts, you just know it?
I wish it was a muscle memory. It's like a lot of... So there's a song that I'm performing on this tour that I haven't performed. I think I maybe performed like 4 or 5 times before this tour.
Okay.
From my second record. It's a song called Astigmatism. And it's a rap song. And it was interesting. Generally, all I have to do is I'll listen to the song once through. And then I'll listen to the song and type out the lyrics, like pause, type. And some of it's like I pause, have to listen to it, and then type it. And some of it is like I'll listen to it, and then I'll be able to type for, you know, 30 seconds and then listen again. But basically once I type it all out, and then I'll listen again and rap along kind of reading, and then I'll rap along without reading, and then they're there again. They're always sort of there. It's just like it's archaeology, like a lot of times. And it doesn't mean that I don't like – the other thing that's super weird too is that there are songs – that I will perform, I'll have performed a song every night for 2 years, and all of a sudden I will just lose the lyrics to like one part, and I will not be able to get it right. And so I have to like, it happened to me with the song Wundersmith and His Sons, like I have kept fucking up this one part of the song that I've probably performed 1,000 times. And like, it was just like, finally, just after like 3 nights of fucking it up, my manager was like, dude, go listen to the song. I was like, all right, go back and listen to it. And I'm like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, shit. Okay, I was just starting a half beat too late or whatever, and it was fucking everything up. Yeah, so it's a weird thing. I'm on 5 albums and EPs and guest spots and things. So it's like, I have no idea how many songs it is now. It's probably, you know, it's closer to 100, I would think, than not. And it's funny that they're all there. Sometimes they just, like, a lot of times I just need the first line. If I get the first line, if the beat is playing and I just need the first line, I can do it. My friend POS has a terrible memory. It's a side effect of, like, he had kidney failure, and kidney failure can fuck with your memory. And so his memory is really bad. And he will be playing shows, and someone will drop the beat, and he'll just have this, like, oh, no. Oh, no. But he's just like, and so he's just sitting there, and he'll literally say to the crowd, he'll go, what's the first line of this song? And someone would be like, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, cool, thanks. Boom, goes straight into it. Like, it's a weird thing. Yeah, it's a weird thing, yeah.
Did that ever change the song? Like, when you were writing it? Or is that, like, when you were thought, like, oh, that actually fits better? Like, do you mess with the songs in that stage?
One of the things, like, I'll notice is if I hear an old song, because when you record a song, you know, this record was different. I had performed a lot of these songs live for a long time before I recorded them. So they're much tighter in performance. But I'll go back and listen to some original, the recording of a song after having performed it for 5 years or whatever. And it's like, boy, that's so loose. Like, it's so much more like off. Like, because I've been performing it and I am like sharp on it now in ways that I would literally have to perform it for 5 years. Like, it's just, you know, it's a thing, you know. And it's also not like it's not an instrument. Like, you don't necessarily have to play it 1,000 times before you with rapping, you don't necessarily have to. I have it, my songs generally memorized when I go in, but sometimes too, you're changing things on the fly. It's not like it's not like you have to memorize the entire guitar part and play the guitar part all the way through. And so yeah, there's definitely, the songs evolve and become inevitably too. There's a lot of stuff that is loose, that is nice, that it's loose because it's a song. It shouldn't always be perfect. But ultimately, they become way more like rapper, you know? Like, because I'm performing it so that they're much more precise. They're much more on beat. I'm finding tighter, like, kind of like patterns and things that wouldn't necessarily have been there on the recording. So it's funny to go back and listen to it and be like, man, that sounds like shit.
Does that make you want to change it or fix it?
Nah, or you let go. You have to learn to let go. There are, you know, like, especially too, like, I go back and listen to the new record, and there's things on there that I would listen to and be like, ah, oh, I wish that I had, I wish I had nailed this part a little bit tighter in a way that, like, no one is going to notice except for me. Like, only I will notice this. And so there's this, I have at least, again, the ability to understand that no one's going to notice this except for me. And I'll listen to it and I'll be like, oh, God, I wish I'd done that better. But ultimately, like, whatever. I hear that, I go, I wish I'd done it better, and then I turn it off and I go do something else, and it's out of my mind. Yeah. So it's fortunate that I don't, I've learned how to let go of records, which is, it was not the way in the beginning. Like, it used to kind of really bug me. And my second record, I spent a year and a half recording it because I wouldn't let go of it. And ultimately, it was a miserable experience, and I decided I'll never do that again. And more times than not, when I go back and listen to a new a record, most of the time, like, while there are times when I listen to it, oh, I wish I would have fixed that, there's so much shit in there that when we were recording it, like, I'm like, oh, this isn't right. My producer would be like, it's right, trust me, let it go. There's way more stuff that I thought was wrong when we were recording it, and I listen to it a year later, and I go, oh yeah, no, that was totally fine. I didn't need to worry about that shit. Because again, nobody notices most of that shit except for me. Yeah. So most of the time, I'm happy I let it go. Sometimes, though, there's a couple of things.
Does the whole, like, for me, rapping is a big mysterium, because I always feel like I don't know enough words to do that. Is that easy for you by now, or is it still?
Yeah, I'm a word guy, though. Like, I really like them, and I really like language, and I like storytelling. It's one of those things that's like, though when I started out rapping, I was terrible. I think that there are a lot of parts, and that, you know, practice made me a technically good rapper, but there are a lot of things about my life and my genetics and my family that just lend me to this. Like, I come from a family of, like, my father's an amazing storyteller, and his, like, my grandfather's an amazing storyteller, and my uncles are amazing storytellers, and I grew up around, like, people that, like, at the end of the night growing up, like, we family would have a big barbecue, all aunts and uncles, grandparents there, always the end of the night, like, my dad telling stories to everybody. Like, this is, like, the world I grew up in. So there's a lot about that, like, being clever, being quick, being witty, having a mastery of language is a thing that's just part of my family. Like, all of my brothers are pretty sharp with our words, and my father is a really great talker. And so that's, like, a thing that's just, like, I think in me naturally. And then beyond that, I just am really like language. I like words. I like slang. I like knowing slang. I like knowing super high, like, ancient language and old English. I like words. And so it's just part of, it's an interest that suits me, you know?
So was it kind of logical, or was it, no, different? No, let's go in a different direction.
Nothing about being a rapper is logical.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't know. It is. Maybe it is.
It makes sense in the end, but
I think I lost my track too. That's how it goes.
I don't think it was, like, inevitable, or yeah, because I wasn't supposed to do this either. I was going to school for theater to be a director and a lighting designer. And so I was working already as an electrician for theater, like a technician, and a lighting designer for theater and opera and ballet, and was directing as well, too. And I finished university, and I got asked to go on tour a month later, and that was 13 years ago, and I've never stopped. So I was supposed to do that, and that was, and honestly, while I am a natural talker and a natural storyteller, and I'm really comfortable on stage, making music, songwriting was not something that was easy for me. That was not like a skill that was natural for me. Working in theater, like directing, was something that was just like came very natural to me, and I was very good at without thinking. Writing songs was really hard for me, and fortunately, and that's one of the reasons I think that I was drawn to it too, because I when I first started doing it, I could feel it. Like it's like you're like you know, blindfolded, and you're like feeling a sculpture, and you're trying to figure out what it is. I feel like I know it's like a person. I can't figure out what the person is. I was like, I felt so close to it, and fortunately, I had a lot of great, like, friends that sort of coached me and mentored me over the years, and continue to, because I'm all self-taught. So music, I was never in a band growing up. Rap was not like an art to me. Okay. When I started, it was battling, it was freestyling, which is like a skill or a sport. It's like a craft. It's not art. It's not about being poetic or emotionally moving or intellectually challenging. It's about making fun of someone, you know. It's about sounding cool. And so it's like it took me a long time to figure out how to take that skill that I learned as a battle rapper and make that into music and art.
Yeah. You said lots of stuff like with the storytelling. Are you more of a person who tells story of yourself, or do you like telling stories of other people more in the music, or is that?
Well, for the longest time, when I first started out, I only told stories about other people, and partly kind of in response and rebellion, because there was a lot of, like, at the time, I was sort of on the back end of a wave of white, like, art school kids that were like rapping about their feelings, and I didn't want to be another white art school kid rapping about his feelings, and so I made these records that were just about not me. I made one record that was entirely like historical fiction, and that was like a much more, it felt good, it felt natural for me, and inevitably, you know, like a psychiatrist could look at those songs and see that they're all me, but like, you know, they're not directly about me. But over the time, I've grown more comfortable writing about myself. Because I feel like I'm not just writing about like my feelings anymore, you know, like I feel like I'm writing about things, but I still kind of always really enjoy telling stories in a linear narrative. I will always really like that. So like my lyrics are they're very narrative driven no matter what. And whether it's a story that is about my life or someone else's, I really do like telling other people's stories too. And part of it is, a lot of that has to do with the fact that I tour so much and I travel so much, that I feel a sort of a sense of obligation. I get to see more of the world than most people ever get to do. I also get to see parts of the world that no one gets to see, and I also get to see the world in a way no one does. Because when I come to any city, there's anywhere from 15 to 1,000 people that are so excited that I'm there. And then if I wanted to just be like, hey guys, I have tomorrow off. What do you know, want to take me around and show me your city? That everyone would be like, absolutely. Come look at this weird secret bunker. I'll take you to this hidden Nazi fortress in the woods. Like, I get to see things that I'm never a tourist. And so I feel a sort of sense of obligation to the rest of the world to sort of report back from the front lines, you know? And so a lot of times I do really enjoy telling other people's stories, and even if I don't do it in music, I do it a lot in my photography or writing on social media or stuff like that. That feels really important to me.
Alright. Cool. Yeah. I don't wanna
If you have any other questions, please ask them. It's no rush.
Did I forget anything important that's important?
Nah, man. I mean, it's really up to you. It doesn't really matter to me. Like, it was great because you asked me a bunch of questions that people don't normally ask me, and there's enough questions out there of asking about what it was like to make my new record. Like, there's enough of that. Like, that's
oh, well, I knew I forgot something.
Yeah, that territory is going to be covered this week. Yeah, in Deutsch and Hungarian and Slovak and en français and Dutch and Danish. Yeah, it's going to be covered.
Danish as well.
Where
are you playing in Denmark?
In Copenhagen tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah. Just Copenhagen?
Just Copenhagen. So I fly... I leave to go play by myself. I leave the tour to go play at Copenhagen tomorrow for a festival, and then fly, and I'm in Dresden after that. And then, yeah, making my way through Eastern Germany after that.
It's interesting that the album just came out and you started in Europe, kind of
did like
touring
around. Basically, yeah. It was originally, so the album was supposed to come out 2 weeks earlier, It's a little inside information. That one's supposed to come out April 29th. And then I saw, right when we, like, everyone agreed, the American record label, the European record label, me and my manager, we all like, this is the date, perfect, because the tour starts a week later, perfect. And then the day we all agreed on it, before we announced it publicly, A$AP Rock announced that he was releasing his album that day. And then my friend's band Fog announced they were going to release that album that day. And we were like, oh man, fuck that. And they're both like, A$AP Rock is on Rhymesayers Records in my hometown, and Fog is from my hometown. They're both two on labels in that hometown. And it was just like, I could probably, like, I'm not trying to fight with these guys over this shit. And then so we were like, we need to figure this out. And then like a week later, Drake announced that he was releasing his album that day. And then all of a sudden, Beyonce, she put her album like out on iTunes that day. And it was just like, whew, man. So we had decided, like, after A$AP Rock and Fog, we were like, we're going to push it back to February 13th. It's in the middle of the tour. It's not ideal, but we have to do this. This is much better. And yeah, and then Drake and Beyonce, and it was just like, man, we dodged a bullet. And there was that day Chance the Rapper put out his mixtape, but he didn't put out as an album, so it didn't chart anywhere. So we like did great. We like lucked out so hard on that because we had no competition. There was like two other, Odyssey put out a record, and some other weird rapper, some like big redneck rapper named Jelly Roll. But like other than that, no one was competing with us. We lucked out so hard because we would have been crushed. We would have been crushed under the Drake, Beyonce, A$AP Rock's like fucking blitzkrieg. Like, yeah, we'd have been dead. So yeah, we got really lucky on that. So yeah, that was why it was supposed to start. We did a week on the East Coast, and then we're doing 2 weeks here, and then I go do a week on the West Coast. It was supposed to all be like album out, do all of this. Big celebration, but now we came to Europe instead, so yeah, it still works though.
I'm not complaining. It's interesting how much stuff is coming out.
Tons, man.
Holy cow.
And I think it has a lot to do too, like, and this is me hypothesizing, but people, big bands are realizing what little bands have known forever, that you have to create content. And so they're putting out stuff a lot. It's no longer like, and it's not just about stuff. It's videos, Beyonce's movie. Like, it's like all of these things. They're starting to realize that, like, it's a full-time job now. Like, it's not like you just put an album out, you do a tour for 6 months, then you go sit on the Turks and Caicos and sunbathe for fucking 2 years. It's a full-time job now to make money doing this. And it is for everybody at every level. We all have to work our asses off. And that's good, Ali. I think that's great. I like it. I like working. I like my job.
It's a pretty neat job.
Yeah, as far as job, I've had a lot of jobs, and I've gotten fired from a lot of them. And this is the best. This is the most difficult job I've ever had. It's the hardest job I've ever had, and it's the best job I've ever had.
I think that's a nice closing line. Let's leave it at that. Thank you,
dude. Thank you so much. That was a great interview.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed it.